everybody to introduce themselves. As people know, there's a difference between the Senate and the House in that Representative Slawik chairs the Early Childhood Committee, and we don't have that in the Senate. And so their bill is more robust because it comes out of a committee just dedicated to early childhood. So you'll see that the Senate has much fewer provisions in the bill than the House. And we thank the House for the work they do on early childhood. And there will be a point during this discussion where I will ask Representative Slawik to go through and talk about the work that was done in the House so that we are all on the same page as far as that goes. So with that, I would ask that each member at the table introduce themselves. And just in case anybody doesn't know, I do represent Minnetonka and Plymouth, and my House members are Representative John Benson and Representative Sarah Anderson, if that puts you kind of in a perspective of the district that I represent. So thank you all for being here.
Great. Well, welcome, and glad you're all here, and glad we're going to have this conference committee. I think we've been on the page, same page through the Early Childhood Caucus, so this is a good chance to just solidify the bill. Nora Slawik, and I am from Maplewood. I represent Maplewood and Oakdale. I am the legislature, and I chair the Early Childhood Finance and Policy Committee.
Representative Sandra Peterson, and I'm neighbors to I represent Plymouth, New Hope and Crystal, parts of Plymouth, not all of Plymouth, and so I share that with Sarah also. So anyway, I'm delighted that we're here on early childhood issues.
And Senator Rest is your senator.
Yeah, Senator Rest is the senator.
And yours?
Senator Weaver.
Senator Weaver.
Representative Bud Nornes, I live in Fergus Falls, represent half of Otter Tail County, so it's a rural district. My senator is Senator Scogan, and I've been in early childhood as long as I've been here, I think, which is 14 years.
I'm Tim Scott from House Research.
Sarah Bensville for CA for the Early Childhood Committee.
Melba Reiki, DFL Caucus Research for the House.
Dana Elling, Senate Majority Research.
John Acton, Legislative Assistant, Senator Bob.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
What did you want the members to confess?
I just wanted the members to introduce themselves.
Just saying you're from Edina.
Anything else you want to share that you're an early childhood caucus co-chair?
I like the early caucus idea, too. Good morning.
We're in disagreement about this.
Yeah. I'm State Senator Jeff Michel. I represent Senate District 41, which is Edina and West Bloomington. I served in three different school districts, Edina, Bloomington, and Hopkins, and have been involved in a number of our early childhood efforts. So thank you, Senator Bonoff, Representative Slawik, for getting us closer to the finish line.
Thanks.
Hi, I'm Senator Tom Sachs. I represent North Central Minnesota. I'm from Grand Rapids, home of the Glennon Foundation. The foundation does a lot of early childhood work.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Anne-Marie Younger, Senate Counsel.
Thank you. And mom of little ones. So, and I know we have many members of the department here, and we thank them for being here, and we may have questions as we go on. Very good. So now I thought we would begin by reviewing the side-by-side. Ms. Yonker, do you want to do that? Oh, the House does that? Even if we're chairing?
Yeah.
Okay. House? Okay. You would review the side-by-side? Well, let's start with similars, right?
Madam Chair, members, the Revisor's Office is kind enough to put together checks side by side of the language that's on the long sheet of paper that's turned landscape style. If you turn to the last page of that R10, you'll see a similar provision in the two bodies related to the quality rating system. That's the one provision in the two books that are missed.
So, members, we might as well, at this point, move to accept the similar, correct? So.
Move to accept the similar language.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is passed. Okay. Now, you want to take us through the not similars, please?
Madam Chair, members, a couple of different types of provisions in the bill, and I'll group them together if that's all right. There is a bill summary in your documents as well. The first three sections of the bill relate to the early childhood health and development screening program. Currently in statute, charter schools are authorized for revenue sources whenever a statute says districts, but in general, if the statute says the word district, it doesn't include charter schools when it applies to an obligation. And so what these three sections do are include charter schools that choose to provide a screening program. They require those charter schools then to require to comply with the requirements of the screening program. So essentially what it's doing is for those charter schools that choose to offer a screening program, it includes them in all of the requirements for the screening
Thank
program.
We'll go through them all.
Yeah, okay.
Thanks.
Madam Chair, members, the next section then is section 4 on page R3 of the summary. And this has to do with the Early Childhood Advisory Council. And what this does is allow the Commissioner of Health or her designee or his designee to be a member of that group as well. So it's adding one more individual to the council. Madam Chair, members, then in Section 5, that amends the duties of the Council, and you can see here the new language starting on lines 4.10, and it adds some of the additional, it essentially adds a little language that requires the Council to establish a task force to develop certain of the recommendations, and then list the membership of who should be on that particular task force. And Madam Chair, the rest of the language then on the next couple of pages has to do with the recommendations of what they're going to do, and I'm not sure how detailed the summary you'd like of this. Essentially, I think several of these include the timelines. If you look on page 5, line 31, the group is going to be making its recommendations next year by March 1st, 2011.
Well, I think the Senate folks, and Senator Michelle seems to have stepped out. He was carrying the office bill, so when he's back, we'll make sure and talk about that in more detail. It is different than our approach.
Mm-hmm.
What they've done is they've just put together a task force. What's a little bit unusual about the way that this is done is that there was a pretty hefty fiscal note to putting this together because of the complexity of the work with regard to pulling functions out of health, out of, you know, education, coordinating it. And so the fiscal note showed, I believe it was like $300,000. The funders said that they would pay for that and there's language in the bill that says it would only be done if the money came through. So that's what we should understand.
Yeah, just a comment on that is we worked with the Department of the Language, and there was a lot of discussion of language in the House, on the House floor, that it's really very extensive. And I think we have to keep in mind that there's two things that are going to drive this. One, how much can a task force really do? So I think this probably will be pared back. And two is the private funding. How much can funders really do? They're gonna look, and they're talking about funding it, but they haven't guaranteed us an amount yet. So I assume maybe if the funding comes in lower, then only certain parts of it are done, which I think will work just fine, and will work well with the timelines.
I would have a question for Council. Given that all this is put into law, and it says that if would have to be done only if the funding was there, do you see any problem with that?
I think we've done it in the past with the effective dates or things like that. From other things that I guess the issue is more with the fiscal analyst part of whether they have to book the money even with that effective date. And I don't know.
And Madam Chair, members, if you look on page 6 of the House language, starting on line 6.25, it addresses this issue as well. But if there are costs by the Council incurred, that they must be paid for private funds, and if the funds are not available, the Council is obviously making these recommendations.
So, Mr. Strom, in your opinion, does that mean it will not be booked and will
Madam Chair, you may want to ask the House Fiscal Analyst about this, but we're currently carrying it at zero. I'm not sure if there's any controversy, Emily, about that or not.
Not to my knowledge.
Okay.
So.
Looks like that language is in two different places, isn't it? On 6.4 also, or 5?
Yeah.
Twice as assured.
Okay, good. All right. So, Senator Saxog, any questions on that? Are you comfortable?
No, that's fine.
Okay, keep going. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Madam Chair. Members, the next couple of sections have to do with the school readiness program, and a couple of things happen here on line 7.16 of the draft. You can see that the school readiness provider is not any longer required to do the early childhood, arrange for the early childhood screening and appropriate referral. Section 7, there's essentially a new language that allows districts to charge program fees for those who participate in the school readiness programs who don't meet the eligibility requirements in the next section. And that section then shows up in right below that, starting on line 7.30. And what you can see there is the requirements for a student participating in the school readiness program are spelled out. So essentially, if the eligibility requirements aren't met for a child, that child could still participate, but they would be charged a fee to be in the program. And finally, Madam Chair, for the Article 1 provision, in Section 9 on the uses of general of community education revenue, it makes clear that a school district can spend its school readiness, it can spend its general community ed revenue on school readiness programs. So, Madam Chair, that's Article 1 of the House bill. In Article 2 of the House bill, there's a couple of sections to bring to your attention. These sections, starting with 1 and 2, these start on page R8 of the document. And what these do essentially is lengthen the timeline for redetermination of eligibility for those folks who essentially are in a school program and are lining up, have a child or in the school program and are lining that up with the school year. So what this means essentially is they wouldn't have to have the redetermination partway through the school year. They could go to the end of the school year with the original determination of whether they're eligible. And the same principle applies in both Section 1 and Section 2. So essentially what's happening here is for those that are in the particular programs, they could go for that. And then lastly, Madam Chair, Section 4 of the bill has to do with the child care assistance redetermination of eligibility and the verification. And essentially that requires the Commissioner of Human Services to use the existing resources to implement the changes related to the Sections 1 and 2. So that's essentially telling that the Commissioner of Human Services implement those changes in Sections 1 and 2 with your existing resources. And that's a quick summary, Madam Chair, of the House provisions.
Yep, go ahead.
Just to say, on as far as the Article 2 and the child care changes, that was a Representative Gail Coolidge Jackson bill. It was a recommendation of the CCAP Barriers Task Force, and it was to resolve the issue that teen parents were having their child care recalculated and was causing problems with them staying enrolled in school, whether children obviously are very young, and so they can finish their high school degrees. So I think that's really important language to keep in. Senator, I think it's probably your... there's been a fiscal note requested on that part, and it is zero, and Senator Berglund will be getting that, I guess, I'm understanding, right?
Yeah.
So it should be fine.
So I'm sorry,
I think we've gone through it. And
any questions for Representative Slawik? Representative Peterson, comment?
No, other than I'm so pleased that we have something.
I understand.
Looking together, some pieces of our goals started to work at well in the ed program. Exciting.
Yeah, thanks really for your
exciting
work. It is, yes.
Well, Madam Chair, it's always good to have a placeholder.
Yes, exactly.
Especially this year.
Yes. Yeah. So we had loftier goals. but we did have to scale back a bit.
And there appears to be one change that we would need to make, that there was a date that was changed by Senator Betzold on the Senate floor, and that had on line 7.2. The council, it says, must report its recommendations to the governor and legislature by January 15, 2012. That was changed to 2013.
And that's for the assessment part. We,
yeah.
If I can mention, we did meet with the Senator Bonner. We met with the funders who are looking at funding this and did some prioritizing. And really, the two things that came up that would be doable potentially within the next year are looking at least the task force for the Office of Early Childhood, and especially the report card. If we're going to have all kids ready by 2020. We really need to get that report card together in terms of how are we measuring kids, what do we need to be doing. And those things include things like immunization rates, participation in family programs like ECFE. So they're not just who's in childcare, just who's in a school readiness program, but much broader type recommendations. So and so this one came out to be longer because, as we all know from our K-12 experiences, screening and assessment are complicated. So they prefer this one to be out there a couple years.
Yeah. So if somebody would like to move that on 7.2, January 15th, 2012, 2012 would need to be changed to 2013. We'll leave the interim report on this the way it is, but just that one.
So
all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion's accepted. Okay. Representative Sala.
Yeah, I have a small oral amendment on line 6.21. So it is the page before this. And 6.22 to change 5-year-old children to entering kindergartners, because as we know, with the age cutoff, that would be cleaner to have entering kindergartners. So I would move that we accept that.
Any discussion? So all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion's adopted. Anything else? Is there anybody who's here that would like to say something, either in favor or opposing the bill? Go ahead, Ms. Carlson.
Say your name.
Oh, I'm Kim Carlson with the Department of Education. And back to the section about screening and assessment with the council. We wanted to add a sentence about work on this duty will begin in FY 2012, because as you'll see, and we talked about, it's not due until 2013, and we're trying to do the first two things, the report card and office first. And so it would give us some comfort to have on line 6.35 after the word development, to have a new sentence saying work on this duty will begin in FY 2012.
Someone want to move that?
I would move that.
Representative Peterson so moves. Any questions? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is adopted. Anybody else?
The piece that Representative Slavik just brought up to change the 5-year-old children to kindergarten, I'm not sure if that would need to be changed on line 6.22 as well, where it says 5-year-old children. Maybe.
Yes, I think that's would be a good idea.
Oh, you did both.
Okay, so Representative Slavik.
Yes, it was in the amendment had 6.21 and 6.22.
Okay, thank you.
So that was in the amendment.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, good. Anybody else? Representative Stock.
I just wanted to acknowledge Lisa Venables here from the Early Childhood Caucus, and I want to say for her work and all the people that work on this year-round. You know, we're often, we do it in the committee in the House, and you guys work on the Senate, but we really, as you know, there's an awful lot of meetings outside of here. So we very much appreciate everyone's support and the advocates as well. I see that Commissioner Klintzing is here, and she also has been helping with the part about the language and the funding. And I just wanted to give a little bit of a pitch. I'm sure the governor will be signing this, I think. I suppose you can't really know that, but we would hope that we hope he will look very favorably upon this. I would be good because as we're getting right towards the end of session,
right.
We need to get it done.
And Commissioner, do you have any sense of whether or not the governor is supportive of the task force for the office?
No, not at this time. I've heard nothing one way or the other. I know there are rumors going around, and I called the governor's office, and none of those are confirmed.
Okay.
we have talked with Lori Grivna and Brian LeClaire, and they both have long to-do lists these days, but Lori Grivna indicated to us anyway that it looks like there won't be any problem with it. For Brian LeClaire, his list is really, really long with all the healthcare stuff, so he was supposed to get back to us, and I haven't officially heard, but
okay.
It seemed favorable.
Well, I too join Representative Sawick in appreciating everybody who's in this room. You look around this room, and these are very familiar faces because we're all in the trenches with each other day in and day out trying to get this work done. And whether you're in the department or whether you're working on Ready for K or, you know, child care works, it is like a big family of advocates. So thank you to all who have been involved in this process, and we hope this is just the beginning of much more. So, counsel, could you advise as to the process now, if we approve it, all the same and similars or whatever, then will it be engrossed and then we'll come back together for signing, or how will that be?
Madam Chairs, we get a conference committee report from the revisor's office that has the signature pages, and it's up to you. Some conference committees like to meet again to sign them, or some just pass them around, and then just comes on the floor and you that way. It's kind of
well, members, I think we'll pass the conference committee around and do it that way. I think it was great that everybody came for this meeting, and that's certainly enough. So,
do you need a formal motion?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
Would you like to move it?
I will move it. We accept the language as presented.
As amended. So, Representative Nornes moves the language 2505 as amended be accepted to pass. All those in favor, any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is adopted. Committee is adjourned. That was good, fast work. My first conference committee.
Nicely done.
Thank you. Right.
Yes.